Amen. You may be seated. Two quick announcements. Number one, we had over 200 people go on immersion trips, which was awesome over spring break. And tomorrow night, there is a meeting called the What Next meeting. There it is. It's going to be at Moss Conference, and it's the kind of what's the next steps after going on an immersion trip. But it's not only for those who want on immersion trips. It's for everyone on campus. And what's next meaning, where can we serve within our community? Not only this summer, but next fall as well, too. 5:30, Moss Conference tomorrow, be there. Second thing, every Wednesday now, as we move through the end of the school year, over at Pillar Church, right across the street here, at 12:15 to 12:45, there's going to be a time of prayer. If you want to join any local pastors or community members who are praying every Wednesday for renewal and revival within our community, you'll want to be there. 12:15 every Wednesday. Enough announcements. Hey, we've been working through the book of Acts, and our theme is Go Be a Witness. And we've heard the witnesses of biblical folks like Paul and Peter and Priscilla and Aquila and Lydia. But also this semester, we've been hearing from witnesses within our own community. Today, we have the privilege to hear from Amy Norris. Amy is in the admissions office. I heard a little woohoo, woohoo. How many know Amy? Give Amy a little love in here. Wonderful. Amy's been in the admissions office for 5.5 years, and she is a Hope grad of 2007. With that, let me pray for Amy. Lord, we bless you for our good sister, Amy. Thank you how you have given her a word to share with us today. Give us ears to listen as you speak to us through Amy. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome, Amy Norris.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. Back in 2009, I took a weekend seminar called Creating Authentic Presence, and this was taught by an actress in order to help people overcome the fear of stage fright. Got it? So, I learned a few things. First off, that I probably need to take it again, because this is a little nerve-wracking. Secondly, that oftentimes people who are very emotional and sensitive can turn out to be great storytellers once you get over the fear of passing out. There's a reason why I'm not wearing a sweater right now. So when I was asked to speak at chapel, I had a lot of emotions running in through me, wondering, would I be okay with opening my story up to people to be judged, and realizing that I might come across in my own fear of being weak in my faith or unintelligent or a bad communicator. And that's what I do for a living. So I took a step back and had some great friends and mentors give me affirmation and realized that my story is worthy to share. And I am very blessed because this is a time to glorify God and it's not about me. So let's open the word with Romans 10, 14 through 15. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear him? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So take a look at me. You look at me and say, she's blonde, she's in West Michigan, maybe she's Dutch. Then you realize she's a little too short to be Dutch. Little do many of you know that I actually brought some religious diversity to campus. I grew up with a father who was Christian and a mother who was Jewish. And what that meant is I attended church growing up, but I also celebrated Hanukkah and Passover and Rosh Hashanah. And I probably went to more bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs than I did my own high school dances. So I didn't realize until I got to Hope that my upbringing was not the Hope traditional. I didn't realize that my upbringing, which I thought was normal, was different from that normal. And I felt almost like an outsider because I didn't know if people could relate to me. This was the first time that I had close Christian friends, and actually blonde friends for the first time, too. So growing up, conversations about faith in my family were very minimal. My mom either avoided the topic, got defensive, or just acted unengaged. So it just seemed almost like a taboo topic. Moving forward to 2009, when I took this position at Hope, I started to pray for my mom that God would reveal himself to her, and that she would get to know the love and mercy of Jesus. I prayed and I prayed and prayed, and nothing seemed to be changing. I once heard from a pastor who's a friend who said, "God is rarely early, but he's never late." And this just hit me, realizing I needed to be patient, that it wasn't about when I wanted her to become a Christian or if it was going to happen, but God was going to do his work. So during this time, I reached out to Paul Boersma about resources to how to begin these conversations, so I felt more comfortable going into these conversations. Honestly, I didn't really have a number of conversations with my friends or family members who were non-believers up until this point because of two reasons. First off, I was afraid of hurting the relationships that I had with other friends and family members. And secondly, I was not confident in my Bible knowledge that I would be able to have the right answer. I felt oftentimes like Mary, who after seeing Jesus's empty tomb, was afraid to tell anyone. And then last year, a wise friend told a prospective student who's now a current student to lose the fear. This phrase struck a chord in me. It helped me to release the devil's lie for approval and thinking, was I going to be good enough or get the right answer? But remembering that my identity came through the love, mercy of Jesus's death on the cross. And that the Holy Spirit is working within us, and we need to trust that God can defend himself. So I went back and did more research. And now we're going to get to the good part. In fall of 2013, my parents came to Grand Rapids to attend Art Prize, and I invited my mom to go to church with us. And to my surprise, she said yes. This was a big deal. So after church, I asked her what she thought, and she said she liked it. Whew, this was, again, a very big step. So after that day, I had a conversation with my father and said, "Dad, if you're interested in mom growing her relationship, you need to switch churches and find a place that she can feel at home as a person seeking her faith." And she actually agreed to go to church with my dad at this new church. And she liked it. This didn't mean she was a Christian. This just meant she was open to seeking answers. So conversations began. She had conversations with her pastor. She had conversations with my dad and I. She did a lot of reading. And at the same time, I asked friends, family, colleagues to pray for her spiritual journey. In that December, my mom and I took a weekend trip to Chicago. And on our drive back, I unabashedly asked her a number of questions. I asked her what had changed, and she explained a few things. First, that she had gotten in a car accident and thought she was going to die. So she was curious about what was going to happen in her afterlife. Secondly, she said she had been wrestling with some questions, and no one had asked her if she had questions. And then lastly, she noticed that when we were together, the interactions that I had with people who are oftentimes seen as invisible in society were engaged in conversation, that I treated them as friends or as anyone else. So this conversation continued and continued. And then about a year ago, my mom called me up one night and said, "I wanted to let you know that I believe in Jesus, and I've asked for his redemption for my sins." And then a couple months later, she was baptized. Praise God. So isn't it interesting that this year has been about going and being a witness. I've loved this series throughout the year, and through this spiritual journey of my mom's, I've learned a number of things. First off, to not allow fear to hinder potential conversations. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. It's not about my approval of others. Third, it's okay to not know all of the answers. You can go to a friend and say, I'm sorry, I need to go back and do some research. Is that okay? Most people are not gonna say no. Fourth, God's timing might not be our timing, but he is always on time. Fifth, it's okay to ask someone where he or she is at in their faith. You don't have to feel like you need to convert everyone you meet on the street, but if you're in a relationship with someone, it's okay to ask them where they're at. Lastly, be obedient and study the word. Meditate on scripture. Pray intentionally. These are things that I have been growing as I've been reflecting through this journey. So I'm asking you to take a second and think about a family member or a friend who doesn't know the love and mercy of Jesus, and I want to encourage you to go be a witness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you to lay your hands on this amazing community of people and remind them that they are your beloved sons and daughters who are uniquely created. Help us remember our identity comes from your mercy through Jesus' death on the cross. Help us trust in you so we may be witnesses to others. In your name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.